We're continuing our teaching series, our message series on teamwork. And what we've been saying over these last couple of weeks is a few things here is that, first of all, teamwork is very much so a biblical teaching. It's a concept that God has for us in His Word, I think for very practical and specific reasons. Whether we realize it or not, we're a part of a team, and either we will be a positive participant of that team or will be a negative influence. And obviously, God's will is for you and I to be a blessing, not a burden to people. And that comes in many different ways, but God has called us to be a good teammate. And so the first week we got together, we talked about cooperation, about working together. Last week we talked about contribution. And today I want to talk with you about something that God's Word speaks so much about, and that is about the area of counsel. See, if you're going to be a good teammate, you have to be the type of person that could give good counsel, but also receive good counsel. And so take notice of your notes here, and there's a verse that we want to encourage you right from the start to commit to memory. It's from Proverbs 11:14. Why don't we say this verse together aloud? Again, a great verse to commit to memory together. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. And certainly that's the goal of any team that you're on, is to be successful, is to achieve some level of victory, whether it's on the ball field, whether it is in the boardroom or the living room or the classroom. You want to be victorious, and that's the goal of every team. And one of the ways that we achieve that is by you and I having a humble enough spirit to be open to receiving counsel, but also being the type of people, when given the opportunity, to correctly and rightly share counsel with those who need it. Now, there are a number of places in the scripture that we can look, but there's one that really stands out, and it's found in the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. And so I want to invite you to turn there with me, and we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 18, and we'll jump and start in verse 13, so allow me to give you the context here. In verses 1 through 12, Moses' father-in-law comes to visit. Now, usually, if you don't have a good relationship with your in-laws, when they come to visit, you might get a little scared just when you read that, okay? But Moses has a rapport with his father-in-law. And his father-in-law, his name is Jethro. We'll explain what his name means in just a moment. Jethro comes to visit, and it comes on the heels of God providing water for the people of Israel. We see in chapter 17 of Exodus. And now, as he comes into chapter 18, this is the first time that Moses is going to be able to speak with Jethro about all that God has done for the Israelites, particularly the crossing of the Red Sea and just the incredible miracle of delivering the people of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And so they sit down and they break bread and they talk about it, and Moses shares all that God did. Now, usually when family might come to visit from out of town, you might be able to take off for a day or two, but then guess what? You got to go back to work. They might still be there. And that's what happens as we come to verse 13. Moses goes back to work, and his father's still there. His father-in-law is still there, and he's going to take notice of how Moses is doing his job. So let's take a look here. Starting in verse 13, it says, "And it came about the next day," so Moses goes back to work, "that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses," notice this, "from morning until evening." And so he is literally working around the clock. And it says, verse 14, "Now when Moses' father-in-law," and by the way, once again, his father-in-law's name is Jethro. In Hebrew, the name Jethro means overflow or abundance. Also, Jethro has another name, Rael, and that name we find out it's listed in Exodus 2:18, and that means friend of God. And so that's a good combination there. Jethro, again, his name means abundance and overflow, and his other name means friend of God. Now, why does he have two names? Well, most likely it signifies that he had his own encounter with God, because you might be familiar with the fact that when people would come to faith in God in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, their name would change. Remember Abraham, okay, Jacob comes to mind. Going over into the New Testament, Peter, for example, Matthew, Paul. And so most likely had his own encounter with God. We know he's a man of God by way of his position as the priest of Midian. And so here's this man, this overflow, okay? And he's about to give an overflow of counsel. But before he does that, take notice of his approach, okay? It says, now when Moses' father-in-law Jethro, saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand before you from morning till evening? Now Moses is going to explain himself. He says, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me and I judge between someone and his neighbor to make known the statutes of God and his laws. Now, verse 17, Moses' father-in-law then said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people with you because the task is too heavy for you and you can't do it alone. Now, let's pause right now. Let's just dissect these opening verses here. Moses' father-in-law comes for a visit. Then I guess it's take your father-in-law to work day, and he comes with him to the office, okay? Part of Moses' job at this early juncture, okay, after the crossing of the Red Sea, not only is leading the people, but apparently he's over every dispute. In other words, there's over 2 million people that are in this camp of the Israelites. If there's a dispute, they come to Moses. And I would imagine the line was very long. It says from morning to night. You thought the DMV was bad. This is far worse. Now, I came up with a saying for the DMV for Moses, okay? It was disputes. Okay, I got it wrong. Department of Moses' Verdicts, okay? That's what the DMV stood for back then, okay? But you thought the DMV was bad. These people were online for a very, very long time. I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting, especially on a line. And here comes Moses' father, Jethro, saying, this isn't a good system here. You're going to wear these people out. You know, how big is the line? 1,000 deep, 2,000 deep to talk to Moses? And the disputes, some of them are probably very petty. You know, somebody took my lamb. Somebody took my garlic. And, you know, they're bringing everything before Moses. And whenever anybody has a dispute, there's a common thing. Everybody thinks their dispute is more important than somebody else. And everybody thinks they're always right. And so Jethro has a very good analysis here. He says, you're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to wear these people out because you're not going to get to everybody, and people are going to fall through the cracks. Now, verse 19 is really a great inspiration for this message here on counsel. Look what it says in verse 19. Jethro says, now listen to me. Now, this again comes after the questions. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring disputes to God. Then admonish them about the statutes and laws and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Verse 21. Furthermore, now listen to this counsel. This is great advice, great business advice here. Furthermore, you shall select out of the people able men, notice this, first, who fear God, men of the truth, and those who hate dishonest gain. Now, before we go any further, I think America should adopt this as an application for everybody who wants to run for office, okay? All right? Think about that, okay, for a second. People who fear God. We talked about that last week a little bit, reverence for God. You know, obviously, God loves us, and we could talk about that every week, and well, we should, but we also never want to lose our fear of God, our reverence for God. And really, here in America, we don't need to fear and be concerned about a terrorist attack or another variant. You know what we need to be concerned about? That our nation is slowly but surely losing its fear of God. And that threatens our future. We must realize that. It's a holy thing to fear God. It's wise to fear God, the Bible tells us. It's within our interest to have a healthy fear of God. And that keeps us in line. And notice that's criteria number one. You're gonna pick men who fear God. And then who are people of truth. You know, you kind of can't preside over people if you can't tell the truth, okay? And so that's important. And then people who hate dishonest gain, that you can't have people here who are gonna manipulate their position. Again, this is why we should adopt this in Washington, for their own political and financial purposes. And it just goes to show you what's important to God. And Jethro is giving great advice. So you pick people like that. And now listen to this practical counsel here. It goes on to say this after he gives them that, and you shall place these over the leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties and tens, and let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that they will bring to you every major matter, and they will judge every minor matter themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will carry the burden with you. That's teamwork. Verse 23, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their places in peace. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that people didn't have peace with the system that was currently going on, that disputes were not being weighed in properly at a proper time. And so Jethro gives great advice. Now, if you're going to be a good teammate, you want to give good advice to people because you're going to see that there are going to be people around you who might be sinking and might need some godly advice. There might be some people that need you in Jesus' name to pray for them. There might be some people in your inner circle that don't need a tongue lashing. They need you to put your arm around them and give them godly counsel. But before you do that, look at Jethro's approach. He starts by asking questions because he's learning about what's going on in Moses' function and his job. Then he renders the advice. This is what we call tact. Now, write this principle down. It's very important if you're going to communicate with counsel to people. Because here's the thing. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is not void of you and I helping others. And one of the best ways we can help others is to pass on the truth and the promises of God, especially in people's times of need. So write this first principle down. Good teammates are tactful in giving counsel. Can you see that with me? Good teammates are tactful in giving counsel. That's so very important to understand. And that's what Moses is receiving. There's good tact here that Jethro has. He could have come in here and just said, okay, Moses, let me come with you to work, okay? And then on Moses' coffee break, he could have said, man, you're doing a terrible job. Man, you're a lousy leader. Oh, God couldn't get somebody else? I'm surprised that God used you in the first place to part the Red Sea. Man, you are a horrible leader. He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't criticize him. He doesn't judge him. He doesn't break him down. He's learning about what's going on. Why? Because what is the principle of teamwork? Well, teamwork that makes the dream work requires a transfer of counsel, doesn't it? And the transfer of counsel begins first and foremost with the person who's giving the counsel being tactful as they give it. You don't need to blow anybody away with what you're going to say. You want to make sure that you're asking the right questions. I have found, and maybe you have as well, is that if you show people that you genuinely care about them and you ask questions in a non-threatening way, you'll be amazed at how much they tell you. But when we put people under a light and we cross-examine them or we ridicule them or judge them, they're not going to share anything with you. See, we want to do our due diligence and communicate in a way that honors God. You know, we want to cross every T and dot every I. We want to be diligent. But you also want to have the proper punctuation. You want to communicate in a way because if you miss a cross of a T or a punctuation, it could be costly. Here's a story that illustrates that. I heard about a businesswoman who was traveling abroad to Paris, and she went shopping, as some of us like to do when you're in a different place, and she found a bracelet that she said she had been looking for all of her life. Isn't that what everybody says who likes the bling and likes jewelry? And so, nevertheless, she contacts her husband. She sends a wire message home, and she says, I found this beautiful bracelet, the message says, one I've been looking for my whole life. It only costs $7,500. Do you think I could buy it? Well, her husband wired back right away a very short and firm reply. No, comma, price too high, exclamation point. And he signed his name to it. But in the transmission, the comma was left out of the message. And then the new message that she read said this, no, price too high. She was thrilled, and she purchased the bracelet. The comma that was omitted, you could say, put this man almost in a coma when he saw the bill. You know, you want to be sure that you're doing your due diligence when you're communicating. You don't want to act like, again, a machine gun that blows everybody away. Yes, there are conversations that you need to have, but there's a way to have them. And I love Jethro's approach. And his approach does not have the absence of God. This isn't just positive thought. This isn't just depending on yourself. This isn't finding the courageous person within. You see God mentioned in here. Jethro's a God-fearing man. And I love his name for this passage here as well, because we should want that. We want an overflow of wisdom. And Jethro is true to his name. He's overflowing with wisdom here. And he's giving Moses great practical advice that could be used, and that's going to lead to peace. And we want to be a tactful people. You know, a lot of times when we're giving advice, again, we're just very quick to the draw, and we're not realizing that, you know, people might need us to be maybe a little bit calmer, a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more practical. I heard this story about a man by the name of Derek who loved his cat, and he left his cat in the care of his mother when he was going on an extended business trip for a couple weeks. And so mom was going to take care of the cat. Also staying with mom was Derek's girlfriend, Sheila, who lived out of state but was visiting the family, and he had gotten called out of business, but she was going to be on extended stay. He had his own place, but not enough room for her, so she stayed with his mother. It was a good way, they thought, to get to know the family. And so Sheila stayed with mom while he was away, and he calls in a few days into his trip to check on the cat. Mom, how's the cat doing? Mom says, oh, the cat died, and this is what we ate for dinner. And he said, whoa, wait a minute, the cat died. What? And she says, yeah, the cat died. Then she proceeded to go talk about something else. He says, Mom, could you be a little bit more sensitive? You know, this cat was like a child to me. I love the cat. Could you at least told me, you know, I'm away for a while. Could you at least said the cat got up on the top of the roof? And then the next day when I call, you could say the cat fell off the roof. And on the third day, you could say the cat died. Then at least soften the blow. And Mom said, oh, these kids. Okay. She goes, I'm sorry. I understand you're brokenhearted. I'll remember that. Well, about a week later or so, he checked in with mom just to see how things were going, and he asked how his girlfriend Sheila was doing, and mom said, she's on the roof right now, okay, all right? Let me ask you by a show of hands, how many of you have ever put your foot in your mouth when it came to giving advice to people? I think all of us have. You want to know something? We did the same scientific study at the last service we had, and it was 100% as well. And I'm sure the next service we'll have later on will do the same. Each and every one of us has been guilty of lacking tact. We want to be the type of people that learn from our mistakes, because God, again, has called us to help people. And as we've said before, it's usually not the size of the burden that someone is carrying. It's how they're carrying it and how sometimes people come to help them carry it. And so we want to be a tactful people. We want to transfer counsel. If you have good godly counsel, well, that's a great thing. But if you're going to say it in such a way that is prideful, that is hurtful, that criticizes unproductively, well, guess what? Nobody's going to listen to your message. And you might have very important things you got to say to people. There might be two or three people in your life right now that you know you have to have a conversation with them. And you got to be courageous and have it, but you got to do so and make sure you don't blow anybody away. God calls you and I to be a type of people who are compassionate towards others. And we're going to have this courageous conversation. You know, one of my favorite shows is Blue Bloods. And I remember one of the episodes, Henry, who is the father of Tom Selleck. By the way, I heard everybody loves Tom Selleck still. And he's like, you know, 80 years old. Everybody still loves him, okay? But here's Henry, his father, and his father gives advice to two of the siblings who are fighting, and he said, the conversation you're avoiding is the one you need to have. And I thought that was great practical advice coming from Henry, you know? And I think there are conversations that you might need to have with somebody, but before you have them, make sure you pray first. Make sure you talk to God before you talk to people. That's the most important part of this tact point. I believe Jethro is walking with God. Thus, he's able to give godly counsel to Moses. And God is going to position you to be a blessing to people that way. You don't want to be a burden. And the way to do it is to seek God. And as you seek God, he will put you in the right places at the right time to share counsel with people. Now, as you flip over your notes, there's a second part to transferring counsel, okay, with this principle. It's important that you give counsel properly, tactfully, But it's equally important, write this principle down. Good teammates are teachable in receiving counsel, okay? Can we say that together? Good teammates are teachable in receiving counsel. Now, this is a very good exercise for us to do, very humbling. Could you just say, I don't know it all? Could you say that on the count of three? One, two, three. I don't know it all, okay? It's healthy to say that maybe once or twice or 20 times a day because we usually act the opposite. And we want to be a teachable people because Jethro is giving great advice. Obviously, it's productive, we're going to see. But Moses could have said, hey, you know what, Pops, thanks, but no thanks. But he didn't do that. Moses, the leader of the Israelites, Moses, who God used, God parted the Red Sea, but God used Moses to do it. God, who used this man to do the most incredible miracle in the Old Testament, he could have said, hey, Jethro, isn't giving me advice a little below your pay grade, okay? But he didn't do it. Look what it says here in verse 24. In fact, why don't we say it together so we're all on the same page together? So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything that he said. Now, you might want to underline that part, listened. Moses listened. That is such an important part of receiving counsel, is listening. Lyndon B. Johnson, when he was the junior senator of Texas, is famous for having a plaque on his wall, and it said this, you ain't learning nothing when you're doing all the talking. And sometimes people are doing too much talking and not enough listening. And you'll notice in that exchange with Jethro, Moses was listening, and then he only responded to Jethro's questions. He didn't defend himself. He didn't go, whoa, wait a minute. You don't understand how hard this job is. You know, listen, God delivers these people out of Egyptian bondage, and they're complaining about water, food, and spices and garlic, okay? You don't know the problems I got here, Daddy-O, okay, of what I'm going through here. And you want me to be so concerned. No, he didn't do any of that. He listened because he's teachable. And perhaps one of the greatest tools in your belt in your relationship with God and your relationship with others is that you're teachable, that you're humble. If you lack humility, you will lack a strong, mature relationship with God and other people. By default, because of our sinful nature, you will be more of a manipulator than a help and a blessing to people, even when you don't even realize it, because our flesh takes over. But when you're walking in faith and you have this teachable mindset before God and others, you know what? You're going to be able to help people, and you're going to be helped by people. It's a two-way street. And it says this now in verse 25, Moses chose able men. Now, underline that phrase, able men, because that looks back earlier when he told Moses what type of people to choose. And obviously, at this juncture in Israel's history, there have been some elders of Israel that have been appointed already. And so did he pull from that lot? Most likely. And then obviously, this is before the Ten Commandments and the law would be given. But the people have a trust. This is God's man who's leading. And God's man is getting advice from a godly man. And he puts in charge able men out of, says this, all of Israel, and made them heads over the people, just as Jethro said, by the way, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Verse 26, and then they judged the people at all times, and they would bring the difficult matter to Moses, and they would judge every minor matter for themselves. I mean, this is great. They've developed a system. The only thing they're missing is the option to check online dispute, and they can do it online on their phone or something like that. The only thing Moses is missing here is an app, the Moses app, to go over your disputes. That's the only thing he's missing here. These people are adhering to what he is saying because he has listened to the counsel that was given to him. He's teachable, and we want to be a teachable people. We want to listen. It was the 28th American president, Woodrow Wilson, who once said, the ear of the leader must ring with the voices of the people. And that's so important that we're listening to the people that we share a mailbox with. We're listening to the people in our inner circle because God might have something for us. You don't want to miss what God wants to say to you for a situation that you might have going on in your life. And sometimes we might be a little gun-shy of sharing. Again, be tactful, but somebody might need to hear it. But let me just put these two points together and say that, you know what? If you're coming from the right place, God has called you to speak truth and love. and you want to speak life over people. I mean, these are the promises of God. You know, the scripture makes very clear that we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. We know that there's life in Jesus Christ, and as we share that with others lovingly, we can be a tremendous help and a blessing. But are you willing to receive it? Are you teachable? And are you also willing to say it tactfully? Recently, somebody asked me, you know, I got to have a talk with my daughter, and is it okay? And she didn't live at home. As a matter of fact, she lived out of state, and I got to get on her on the phone and talk with her. What do you think? And I said, well, maybe you need to do this in person after she told me what the situation was. But do you think it's okay? And I said, you know what? You're mom, and that will never change. And as you get older, you keep getting stars on your lapel. And by the time you become like an Italian grandmother, you could say whatever you want and get away with it. It's okay, you know? You have that status, right? You can say whatever you want and it's okay, right? Especially if whatever you have to say is of biblical and wisdom importance. And that is what we see going on right here with Jethro and Moses. Jethro's being tactful. Moses is being teachable. Where are you right now? Do you need to have a courageous conversation with somebody? God wants you to pray about it first. This isn't, again, Positive Thought 101 on conversations. You got to start with prayer. In fact, I would like to just give you some advice, additional advice with this, is that unless it's life or death and you got to talk to somebody immediately, you should probably let a few days go by, maybe seven, and during that time, pray, seek God. Pray for that person, and then pray for God to give you godly wisdom to share. If it's a very big situation, obviously you want to implement and include fasting. The last thing you want to do is react to people. Say something right off the top. I'm going to say something off the top of my head. I got to get it off my chest. Hold on. We're getting it off your chest. Because you might wreck a relationship doing that. Don't react. As we said last week, be responsive to situations. That's tact. And then when advice is done in a righteous way, be teachable. This is going to bless Moses and his leadership significantly. What do you need to hear right now that's going to bless you in your walk with God, in your relationships, in your business? What does God want to give to you that maybe in the past you've just been, you know it all. I don't need to hear it. I got it. That's okay. Good, good, good. And you're not really listening. Well, that's certainly not God's best. We're constantly learning. I told you before about Pablo Casals, the famous Spanish celloist. I love the remark he made when he was interviewed. And it was a young reporter who said, why do you spend hours a day still practicing your instrument? And he says, because I think I'm starting to make progress. And he was in his 90s when he said that. You know, let us not think that we're above learning. Let us not think that we're above being teachable. Be careful. The Bible makes very clear, pride cometh before the fall. And if God is putting people in your path, godly people, who are rendering advice that is congruent with the scriptures and the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to listen. And if you have miles under your belt with God and you have wisdom, listen, you might know people in your life right now that you got to have a, you know, that come to Jesus talk. Hey, are you going to start coming to church? You know, you're going to start coming to God. You can't just come to church just when you need something, you know, although God accepts you. What are you waiting for? God wants to move in your life. You know, stop taking seasons off. God wants to use you. It's not just about you getting things done for yourself. God has assignments for you. Maybe it's somebody who's about to walk off a cliff morally, financially, relationally. You have a responsibility. And if God has put it on your heart to do it, pray and seek him. And when somebody does come to you because they love you and they care about you, receive it. Thank them and pray and see if this is what God wants you to do. But we need to be a tactful people. The last thing we want to be is to be the type of person that's not teachable. I heard another story about a mother and a young daughter that were walking at one night, and they were trying to get from the restaurant to the car. And the little girl, as some children like to do, threw herself on the floor. You ever have kids do that? Very annoying. Pull your back out, very annoying. And so, you know, she started to get frustrated on the fourth time. And then finally, the little girl said, well, just lay on the floor with me. And mom thought that was ridiculous, but she did it. And she laid on the floor, and when she looked up, it was the most beautiful, picturesque sky of stars she had ever seen. And sometimes we're just in such a hurry that we're not listening. We're not willing just to pause and see what God has done. And I advise you, since we're talking about counseling, if you want to be a good teammate in your home, with your family, and your relationships for the glory of God, you want to be the type of person that's not only tactful, but you're teachable. So you hear all that God is saying, all that God has for us. You want to be a good listener. Look what Proverbs 19:20 says. Can we say this verse together? A great verse to commit to memory. The book of wisdom. Together. Listen to advice and accept discipline so that you may be wise the rest of your days. Listening. In fact, I encourage you, the next time somebody has a conversation with you, don't think about what your response is going to be. Try to listen to them. As I tell my players all the time, you listen with your ears and you listen with your eyes. Maintain eye contact. Listen to see what they have to be saying. And if that person is willing to stand with you and pray with you, you know, that's a great thing. And you need to just attach to that. There are significant challenges that you're facing right now that you can't beat on your own. We're better together. And as we have that godly transfer of counsel, that is going to help us. You know, God, again, wants to give us victory. And again, we got to make sure we're getting the right counsel. Look what it says in Psalm 1, verse 1, the very first verse of Psalms, okay? It's on the screen. We could say it together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Okay, you know, we got to be the type of people that are seeking the right advice. I don't know if going to YouTube is getting the right advice. I don't know if getting, you know, your palm read, if that's going to help you much, okay, in life. And by the way, why waste your time trying to go to people who could tell you about the stars when you have direct access to the one who made and hung the stars? Again, we live in a day and age today where there's a lot of misinformation that's being given out to our children and to other people. We have direct access to the Word of God. We have direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a question I get asked from folks, whether they've been coming to church a long time or just started coming, is do we really have direct access to Jesus? And the answer is 100% yes. We do. Do we have direct access to God? Yes, because of Jesus. The scriptures make clear that there's one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. You have direct access to God because of Christ, which means then you have direct access to these promises. We have every reason, we have a mandate to go to God and to trust what he is doing in our lives right now. And so the question is where do you stand? Are you being tactful? Are you being teachable? That is so very important as it pertains to you being a good teammate. Now, as we button up this last verse, okay, it's not just a tack on. It communicates something very significant, okay? Now, look what it says here in verse 27 of Exodus 18. Then Moses said goodbye to his father. Well, in other words, take it easy. Thanks for coming, okay? With an emoji smiley face or something. And Jethro went his way to his own land. This communicates something here. This means that this was a relationship here that is strong, and that, again, Moses received it, and Jethro gave it right. Now, I want to illustrate for you this with, I borrow this from the house, okay? This is a water flosser, okay? This water flosser is great. I mean, it really helps your teeth out. However, this particular water flosser has a mind of its own, and it literally goes off whenever it wants to go off. In fact, it went off at the last service as I was bringing it up, okay? It's great. It'll knock the stuff right out of your teeth. Obviously, don't need to be there. But one time, it actually hit me in the eye and almost blinded me. See, sometimes people are like this water flosser, okay? They could be a great help with their practical counsel and advice, or they could cause a lot of damage and an injury. When I look at this passage here, I don't think Jethro and Moses are like my water flosser, okay? I think that they pleased God so much with their response that there was nothing left to say after that because Moses did it. It's reminiscent of what took place in Luke chapter 1. Remember when the angel came and basically dropped the news on Mary, you're going to be with child? And then Mary says, well, how can that be since I've never known a man? Kind of a small problem there. And the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the angel gives her all the details. And what is Mary's response in verse 38? Let it be unto me according to your word. And then the angel left. Similar here, Jethro, doing God's bidding, speaks to Moses. Moses receives it because it's not enough just to hear. You got to get God's command, and then you got to obey it. That's so very important for you and me, is that we got to hear what God is saying, and then we got to obey it. We don't want to be guilty of tuning God out. We don't want to say, you know what, God, tell me everything I need to hear about peace, all I need to hear about prosperity, let me hear about your presence, oh, let me hear about your pardon, but I don't need to hear anything about being corrected because I know it all. That's not how it goes. And so write this last principle down. This is true of relationships with other people, and most importantly, your relationship with God. Good teammates never tune out God's counsel. Can you say that with me? Good teammates never tune out God's counsel. God has counsel for you. God has something for you to hear. But if we're too busy tuning God out, if we're too busy not making God a priority, we're going to miss what God is saying to you and I. We're going to miss his blessing. And again, God has gone to great lengths to preserve his word. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us all the reason we need to trust God's counsel. We don't want to tune him out. In fact, Jesus made very clear that God was sending the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to you and I. Look what it says in John 14, 26. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. And so God sending the Holy Spirit, Jesus promising the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit serves as a counselor. That's literally what the word means in Greek, the parakletos, to come alongside and to give counsel. The helper, the Holy Spirit has been sent to give counsel to you and I. And so we don't want to tune God out, because if we tune God out, we won't be tactful when we need to be tactful, and we certainly won't be teachable when we need to be teachable. God has called us to be in tune with what he's saying. We don't want to turn God off, as it were, because we're too busy gabbing, because we're too busy doing us. We're too busy living life. That's not God's best for you and I. And I close with this story about a park ranger at Yellowstone National Park. And he was leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. As he was going, he was giving the history of the park, and he was so intent on telling those who were there with him about the flowers that they were seeing and passing by, that he turned off, which was a no-no, his two-way radio. Now, he didn't want to be distracted, he thought, by the messages that were coming or potentially could have come on the radio. And so he switched it off. Now, as the group was going and as they were looking, and as he was explaining, gushing over the flowers, a nearly breathless fellow ranger approaches the group, and he's ready to pass out because he's running to catch him. And he says, "You weren't responding. We were calling you over on your radio, so your radio must be out." He says, "A grizzly bear has been stalking you in this group and is about to pounce on you. You got to get out of here quick. You're in danger." You know, I like to draw the conclusion that when we tune God out, we're prey for our problems as well. We're a sitting duck, if you will. You don't want to tune God out. You don't ever want to tune him out. Now, as I say all that and we close, you might be going, "Ray, I can't agree more with this. I got to be more tactful. I suffer from foot and mouth disease. I got to stop doing it. I wreck people. I tell them how it is. I got to seek God. I got to pray. I got to fast. I got to seek God's word more so I can be a blessing to people. I agree 100%. Sign me up. I want to do it. I got to be more teachable." Sometimes I do tune God out. I agree with all of this in principle, but I can't do it in my own. And I would say, you're right. You can't do it on your own. Because in our flesh, we cannot do it. But this much is true. Christ paid for our sins in full on the cross. He's defeated sin by the sacrifice of him on the cross. That blood covers my sins and your sins. But he didn't stay dead, as we know. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. And scriptures make clear that the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in you and I. And so that power that rose Christ from the dead gives you and I the ability to make the necessary changes and overcome the challenges that we have, not because of us, not because of other people, but because of Christ, because of the power of the resurrection. And when I look at Exodus chapter 18, I see a man by the name of, you know, Charlton Heston, right? Okay, no, Moses. But by the way, if Charlton Heston could listen, so could you and I, okay? But if Moses, with far less light than we have as we sit here today, 2,000 years plus later from the resurrection, with far less information, with far less light, if Moses could listen to God and be humble and not tune God out? How much more should you and I, if we are King's kids and we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, how much more faith should we have in the things that God is calling us to do if we know Christ today? My prayer is that we will trust God with all of our heart, that we'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that his death will not be something in vain that we acknowledge once a year or once a week on Sunday, but we will be living, as Paul said, we will know him, we'll have the fellowship of his sufferings, but we will live in the power of the resurrection. See, the gospel makes it very clear to you and I that we have every reason to hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is our brightest day or our darkest hour. If we're going to be a good teammate, we need to have a good transfer of counsel. We got to be tactful, we got to be teachable, and we never want to be guilty of tuning God out. What is God saying to you right now? You know, it'd be nice if our Bible came with a GPS, right? Go left, go right. Say goodbye to this person. Say hello to this person. Okay, it'd be great if that, you know, take this job, say no to that job. It'd be great. Move here, don't move here. It'd be great if you had that. But the Bible doesn't come with that. It comes with a better GPS, a better God positioning system, the Spirit. And as you trust Almighty God, as you're walking in, listen to this, as you're walking in fellowship with him, God will direct your paths. In fact, he promised it so. We're told to trust in the Lord, do it with all of our heart, to lean not on our own understandings, and all of our ways acknowledge him. And he will straighten us out, and he will make our paths straight. And if you have any fear, any doubt in any of that, look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you the strength to be the teammate that he's called you to be for the glory of God. There are significant burdens for you to help carry with other people. Paul says in Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens, and in so doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is that we would be a blessing, not a burden, that we would be a help, not a hindrance, and we do that by being the type of people who don't tune God out, so when given the opportunity, we could be tactful to give godly counsel and teachable as well when we need it, and to God be the glory for how he has helped us in the past. To God be the glory for what he's doing right now, and to God be the glory for how he's going to use us in the times to come. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your mercy that you've given to us. We acknowledge that there have been many times that we have blown it with the counsel that we've given. We've been judgmental, we've been critical, and we know that's not your way. We know that that does not represent the path that you want for us. Help us, O God, to be a blessing. Help us, O God, to remember that we are your workmanship, that you have good works for us to walk in and to do, and they always surround helping others, O God, to some extent. May we be a blessing with your word. May we be a blessing in relaying the timeless promises and principles that are in your word, O God. May we be teachable as well when we need to hear it. Again, forgive us when we've been neither, and empower us by the Spirit to move forward, O God, being in tune with you and that which you would have for us to do. Help us, O God, go before us, we pray. We sow these prayers, not, O God, in a faithless whim, but a full trusted assurance that your Son, Jesus Christ, is King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we commit these prayers now. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.